Real Kipper and Bourne show going national. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKeeve for the next hour. Wherever you're watching, listening, Sportsnet, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. Welcome on in. This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. All right, let's not waste any time because we love having this guy on the air. Steve Valiquette, analyst for the New York Rangers on MSG, also does a great job with his company, currently the CEO of ClearSight Analytics. And we do love having those numbers come out when we talk about goaltenders because we are getting into crunch time, Valley, which means all the pressure's on your guys between the pipes. How are you, first of all? Thanks for doing this.
Hey, guys. Great to see you. And, yeah, I mean, it's going to get into that pressure cooker right away. And I was listening yesterday to what you guys were talking about, which is, Kipper, can you get through a playoff round with a goalie that's not allowing bad goals? Because that's what sinks the hockey club. And one thing that I've seen over the years, and you guys have seen it and felt it, it's not really the high danger saves that separate the best during a playoff series. It's what goalie doesn't allow the goal that everybody else is stopping. And it starts and ends there. You wouldn't believe how cool it is at the end of a series when you're getting into the numbers and stuff to see how even the high danger chances will be through the series from team to team. It'll be 14-14 like it was the year that Dallas played against Tampa in the final. And the goalies perform exactly the same, stopping two out of every three. But the differentiator is the low danger goals. And you know what it is, fellas? Not everybody can recognize what the low danger goal is because unless you go through the exercise of watching every shot during a season and then seeing which ones the goalies are stopping 97% of the time or even higher in some cases, and then you see somebody allow it, you're always asking yourself, you know, was that a good goal or a bad goal? But I think it bears out over the course of a season. So you can sort of look at it by saying, who is allowing this? And then you can start looking at the video and seeing that it's the lower class goalies.
Yeah, well, I'd love to dig in on that a little bit more. Are there any goaltenders in particular who excel at not giving up the weak goal? I know some guys are great with the high danger chances. Is there anybody who's above and beyond and just consistently making the saves they're supposed to make?
The upper tier guys this year are all doing that because what happens, Borny, is when you're looking at expected save percentage or expected goal models, you get absolutely hammered if you give one up. It's almost like you've got to make 100 extra saves to make up for that bad goal.
Yeah.
And that's the way that I always look at it anyway, because this year's top of the list, it's, believe it or not, Markstrom still near the top, Binnington, who's not going to make the playoffs, Shesterkin's near the top right now because he's pushed Hellebuck, of course, but those guys don't allow a lot of bad goals. But more importantly, what we're getting into for the postseason is going to be the differentiator. And we'll talk about this during the playoffs and maybe we'll see each other at the playoff conversation as well. You never know.
Love that.
I want to talk to you and what your thoughts are on Vasilevsky in Tampa, because it just seems like, oh my gosh, we've forgotten about Tampa Bay. We think Vasilevsky won't completely come back off of a major back surgery. And then you look up and they have the best month in March and you're like, oh man, they're for real again. And it's because of who? Vasilevsky?
You know, it's one thing that's been brought to my attention. This is kind of going around the league as a conversation is a goalie should never steal a series anymore. Because there's not just a book on them, but there is a smarts that I think this generation is allowed to play with that maybe ours wasn't, Kipper and Borny. Because when you think about it, guys are allowed to pass off of rebounds now. And I felt like that never happened when I played. Guys are shooting kill shots from 20 feet away with like 75% power so that they die net front. Whereas we would always be in shoot to score mode, or at least that's the way I approached it as a goalie. I always felt like guy gets within 20 feet of me, he's thinking one track mind, he's shooting to score. Where now we're seeing it in the data. There's a lot of pass off pads from really close proximity pass off pads. So those types of area games, the small area, along with broken plays, because teams are looking for broken plays. Now, last year in the playoffs, that was the first year I ever saw there was more broken play goals scored than east to west goals scored. And broken plays, they can be, you can create them. If you have a clear look now from the point at the goalie and you don't see anybody there, watch how teams are hitting the end boards or aiming for the pile of players that are net front, looking for ricochets there. Because the best teams, I have this written down in my notes tonight because I was looking at it for today's game. Since the All-Star break, we've seen Pittsburgh play really well, haven't we? Mm-hmm. They've got 24 goals off broken plays. The Leafs have 23. The Islanders have 22. The Rangers have 21. Those are your leaders, and those are all teams that have played really well since the All-Star break.
It's actually so funny. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Valley.
No, that's just what it's just what I see every night, Borny, right? But then it's nice to get it backed up on the numbers, and then you start watching the video of the goals, and, man, like, you know, last thing on this, Benoit Allaire, 20 years ago when he was my goalie coach, one of the things that he would have in a meeting before the postseason with Henrik and I was on the bulletin board, it would be screens, deflections, broken plays, rebounds will account for 70% of all the goals scored during the postseason. And, you know, you start to get a little wise to it when you're playing. And I've always been thinking about that statistically since I've retired.
It's such a rally killer when a guy from distance, like 60 feet, just shoots it on an unscreened goalie. Like, it's an absolute, you might as well shoot it, try to bank it off a leg or something else in front. It makes a lot of sense. I wanted to ask you about...
For 1 second, I want to tell you something.
Yeah, what do you got?
No, because I looked at that. I looked at that today, and it was the Rangers have had 726 of those, the ones that you just described.
Yeah.
And they only scored 7 goals all year.
Ugh. That's not awesome. Yeah. So it's like a pointless shot.
That's why you don't do it anymore. Yeah. That's why you don't do it. Like, the whole genesis of our company, guys, it's if you give the goalie half of a second to lock on the shot before the shot comes, he has a 97% chance to make a save. And the hardest thing to get through to coaches, it even rings true when you get to the slot area. And you think it's a high danger chance, but it's not unless there's a pass option, like a 2-on-1 where the puck carrier shoots. It's a big difference because now the goalie is not mentally all the way locked in on shot. He's thinking about pass.
So one of the best goalies in the league over the past couple of years, Islanders have had Sorokin. Sorokin, I've really liked his game at times. This year's been a weird year for him, kind of up and down. You know, they're at 85 points and you know, favored to get in the playoffs now. Tell me a little bit about his year, because I can't make sense. Islanders fans, some think he's been terrible, and some have really liked his season.
You know, I was just before I came on, I was looking at who's been performing really well since the All-Star break. I keep using that as a cut line because that's actually when Shesterkin started playing well. Yeah. You know how we can do that?
Help the homeboys, yep.
Exactly. So, but Sorokin, I was surprised. He was in the bottom third, and he's always been in the upper third. So, Varlamov, he's playing again tonight against the Rangers. He's getting the start. I can't really figure it. I mean, I love Sorokin's game, but hey, I saw Shesterkin go through it so bad in January that I thought the Rangers might even miss the playoffs. He couldn't stop a beach ball. And you wonder what's going through with goalies. They're still hard to figure for me, boys. I think there's still a lot of the mental game we can't really get to the bottom to.
Talking to Steve Valiquette, analyst for the New York Rangers on MSG, also Clear Sight Analytics, the CEO. So I think you mentioned rally killing. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that I don't know if it's average or more, but giving up the first goal on the first shot, for some reason, I think I've seen more of that this year than in the past. I know how it affects me and my teammates on the bench, because the first question is, where were you last night? But what about the goaltender here? And you know, are there numbers out there that, you know, they're different when they let the first goal in? You know, do they go into a shell? Is there a psychological disadvantage for the rest of the night if you give up a first goal on a first shot?
That's really the data that I like the most, Kipper, is because it brings those biases that we have from playing that we remember and we can find truth to them, right? And no, it's always fun because I don't have the answer for you right now, but I promise you I'll text you later and give it to you, and I'll tell you who's given up the most. But I do like looking at those, and it's always fun to see. Hey, look, I was watching the Pittsburgh-Toronto game last night, all right? And I was just waiting to see if Pittsburgh could just muster one high-danger chance after Sammy let in the second one. And they didn't.
Yeah.
They didn't. And the reason why is because that's what I'm looking for with Samsonov. Can you come up with a save after you've allowed your second goal or your third goal and just get a stop right there? The same thing happened in Montreal in his previous start. He didn't face a high danger chance in the third period. He didn't face one. And I was just waiting. So if I'm you guys, and as closely as you cover the Leafs, you need to wait for a little bit of evidence in these next couple of games. Is Samsonov going to make a big save to hold a lead? Because we just haven't seen enough of it because of how bad his start was. I can't buy into him being the guy that carries them to the Stanley Cup. And, of course, I look at everything. I look at body language. You know which one I don't like about him is when the puck goes in, he's always giving her, like, one of these. You know?
A startled cat?
You know? Don't try and sell me on, and I yell at my goalies about this all the time. Don't sell me on the fact that you're shocked you got beat,
yeah.
You know, or you became a spectator of that circumstance that you were in right there. If you look at Pitt's second goal last night, he's just sitting in his butterfly. He doesn't even go for it. I'm like, man, roll over, find the puck. What are you doing? You know, and there's an element of that in his game. And I think, like, it's funny because every goalie in the league has a different something where you can imagine. We always have eyes on us, so we're always trying to take goals off the ledger. It's like when the coach comes up to me after a game, right? And he says, hey, Valley, were you screened on the second one? And what about the fourth? Was it deflected? I was like, yeah. He's like, oh, okay. So now my four just went to two. You know, that's the way I'm thinking about it, right?
Yeah, so, you're appealing to avoid those goals. I like that.
Oh, always, always. We're salesmen.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the funny part with him, I think. I think that he's got to knock it off with the salesmanship and just play the game and get into it because he can make a few more of those broken play saves that are going to be critical. And he's got to stop building screens on himself. Goalies can do that too. Okay. You can fight. I'll tell you one little insight about a goalie too. When I was playing my best, and any goalie, any former goalie will admit to this, when you're playing your best and you're screened and you fight for just a split second longer just to see the first couple of feet of the puck coming off the shooter's stick, you're going to get a piece of it. Now, when you're not going well, you can allow that screen to build and just hide behind it. And Samsonov has the lowest save percentage on screened shots of all the goalies that will be going into the playoffs. So, and we all know it's going to get denser in the postseason. And I'm going to be watching him closely because you guys know I root for Leafs after Rangers. Rangers and Leafs, those are my rooting interests, right? And I want to see the Leafs win. But I'll be fired up if that guy's building screens on himself.
Interesting that you're leading me to this next question to you because last night, just quiet night outside of the Leafs in Pittsburgh, Vancouver, and Vegas. I don't know if you caught Brock Besser's 40th goal, but Petey's in front of the net. He's in the blue paint, and I thought for sure that they were going to challenge it, and it would be disallowed. They didn't challenge it, but Logan Thompson's in there, but he's not fighting to look around. He doesn't make it obvious.
Yeah.
And play went on, and he got his goal uncontested. But you know that traffic's coming now. And what do the goalies need to do? And I believe, and I hate to say this, but if Logan Thompson over-exaggerated Petey in front of him, I have no doubt in my mind that that goal would have been disallowed. But he chose not to, and the goal was allowed.
A couple things. The first goal last night, if you watch it again, a good example of Samsonov building a screen on himself is what he did when the screen first arrived. You'll see him shove his face right up against the ass of the player that was in front of him. And you do the opposite. You know, he was actually, you'll just trust me on that one. You'll see it. Now, I didn't see that one last night, Vegas, Vancouver, but we had one last week where Kreider was pushed into the goalie. And this is something that we're seeing a lot of, and it's really twofold. It was Letang. It was the game against Pittsburgh, and Letang backs up, and Kreider is between Letang and Tristan Jarry, and he just, like, shoves him back like this. Mm-hmm. It pushes Kreider in. Kreider he was not going in at that point. He was a good foot outside in the white ice. But Letang knows it, backs him in. The goalie plays it up a little bit, and it was a disallowed goal. But I know, and this is getting talked about, I know that if you're going into the postseason and you're playing against Kreider, who the Rangers have great net front. They've got Wennberg, who loves – he's a top five, by the way, in the league. One of the stats we keep is how many times your team is credited with one of your players in front of the goalie, and then we credit that player with a screen. So – where's the list? I got a list here. Anyhow, I was going to go over it tonight because Anders Lee is one of them as well.
Oh, I'd love to hear it.
So, yeah, top five guys. Boys, I got stats on top.
So much information.
No, I just thought this was interesting because when you're looking at a pre-scout, here you go. Let's talk about Eastern Conference. Top guys at screening the goalie in the Eastern Conference. Again, I'm going this way because I'm looking at potential matchups for the Rangers. So Kreider, 70 screens. He had 15 goals the Rangers scored when he was screening the goalie this year. Anders Lee, 62 screens. He's second. Alex Wennberg is third in the Eastern Conference. Yes, sneaky, 51 screens. And Nick Paul is fourth. Sam Reinhart is fifth. That's the top five guys at screening the goalie in the Eastern Conference.
Oh, he's always there.
Really?
Always.
Hey, boys, can you know what it's like? If you're going to pre-scout and you got a guy like Kreider or Lee or Wennberg or Paul, whatever it is, you know that you can back that guy in, and you're going to get the call if your goalie's cooperating with one of those moves, you know, where he's just giving her one of these and filling. And look, I've cheated every single way you can imagine and tried to get goals disallowed my entire life. And I know it. And for whatever reason, now it kind of pisses me off when I see guys doing it. But I'm like, I did the same thing, you know?
You know, the other one, if you're not cheating, you're not trying, is the accidentally on purpose knocking the net off.
Well, aren't they making a rule about this, though?
That's coming, is it not, in the playoffs?
I've heard. I don't know if that's going to be a fact or not. But do you remember when Murray was doing it?
Oh,
maybe a year ago, and he did it three or four times within a week.
Yeah.
Two things about that quickly. The one that really works, I always thought, was you just like drive the spine of your pants into the post and you can knock it off, just make it look like you stumbled. But when you see the net come off once in a game, if the guys, the maintenance crew, don't come out with a drill to make the hole bigger and get the snow out, then it's going to come off a second time easier. And I think that's really important because not every rink has the same maintenance protocols.
Yeah. Well, we watched that Leafs Penguins game last night, and it feels like Nedeljkovic is the guy there for Pittsburgh. Is he legit? Where do you have him in terms of starters around the league? Starters.
So, yeah, interesting thing on him is, do you remember when he got that big contract after that big year in Carolina a few years ago?
Detroit?
And then it was Detroit.
Yeah.
And here's the way I look at Nedeljkovic. This guy works his butt off, and he's a gamer, and I'm rooting for him. He's undersized. He's an elite puck handler. But the one thing I wonder with him is, can he play when he's a favorite? He's an awesome underdog. And I think that players have the same problem with this. I mean, I heard this about Alex DeBrincat after he had his big year and got his big contract for the first time. I was talking to somebody in the front office there, and they're like, yeah, this guy's been an underdog his whole life. Now he's getting paid like a favorite, and he's not living up to it because it's a new mindset. It's a new space for him. And I think goalies have the same problem, which is why it's so hard when we pay goalies that have had really big surges on other teams. And you can go through the list of guys that have done this. And then when they're paid, it's like harder for them to live up to those expectations. But at that moment, you don't realize you're just getting paid not for what you've done, or we want you to do more. We just want you to be consistent and give us a save in there. And, you know, of course, Jack Campbell comes to mind there too.
Two goalies. I'll name you two, Hellebuck and Jake Oettinger in Dallas. What do you got on those guys? Because they're going to be huge here moving forward.
Ottinger is surging right now at the right time. I've been wondering about him all year. There were a lot of top goalies that got off to really slow starts this year. Saros, and some guys never came out of it, like Gustafsson. Philip Gustafsson was one of the top goalies in the NHL last year, and he's right near the bottom this year, which is shocking to me. I think he's a really good goalie. Hellebuck, he's all the way up near the top, and he has been again this year. I don't know. I don't know if Winnipeg's going to do it. I don't know how you guys feel. Like I wonder about Winnipeg. Smaller defense, and I really like their third line, and I wonder about how they're going to work out in the playoffs. I don't know about them, but Ottinger, I think Dallas could be the favorite. I think you guys, did you guys watch that Colorado Dallas game the other night?
Yeah,
looked like a different league.
Yeah, good hockey.
You know, they're just playing so fast, and when you watch the East, it just seems so much slower. But they're playing fast, and Ottinger's playing really well. He's a top guy, and he's been a top guy for a long time. And I think it's Kipper's pick before the
It was.
It is.
It was. Hey, you're a top guy for us.
Absolutely. Appreciate your time, man.
Hey, boys.
Valley,
have a good one.
Have a great one, pal. Thanks for doing this.
I hope your Islanders bring it tonight, too.
Yeah, me too, buddy. Look at all the sheets you got. This is hilarious. Have a good broadcast.
All right.
See you, fellas.
Thanks, Valley.
My favorite when it comes to...
He's got so much information.
The information.
Yeah.
The analytics.
Chris Kreider scored 50 on the backs of that screens he's talking about. Just park there.
Yeah.
Tip it in. Yeah, tip it in the other night.
The goalies, get ready. Because it's the first thing you talk about.
That's literally the thing for before the series. You're like, we're going to be in the paint.
In your face. Mm. We're coming after you.
Did you
Who can handle it? Who can't?
Did you write it down?
What's that?
What Samsonov is in the league on screenshots?
No, I didn't write down the number.
Okay, yeah, I saw you writing something over there.
Well, did he not?
You had a look at cringe.
Was the worst? Was it last?
Yeah. Don't like that.
That's not a good place to be.
Don't like that at all.
You prefer to be second last.
I prefer
or
to
even
be
third last.
Top 10. It's like, well, you know, no one on the... So what he gave us there, which was just a wealth of information. If you're just catching up now, go back to our podcast, go to YouTube, watch it again. But he told us that the top five screener guys in the league, Sam Reinhart's one of them. The Leafs are going to be playing the Cats in the first round. So Sam Reinhart is going to be screening the goalie who's the worst at saving screenshots.
Should be fine.
I don't like that matchup.
And you woke up feeling so positive.
Yeah, Valley drove it in the ditch. I love him to death, but that hurt. I don't know.
Reality check.
Hey, question for you. I saw Paul Bissonnette tweet this the other day. It was a question, and I thought it was an interesting one, and I wanted to bring it up with you because there's guys on the precipice of both of these. Yep. The 100 assists versus 70 goals, and which is more impressive?
I've heard this question quite a bit this year.
Yeah.
And the answer is pretty simple. It's 100 assists. Nobody ever gets 100 assists. It's like Gretzky and one other guy ever.
Gretzky did it 11 times.
He did it 11 times, and one other guy did it once, I think.
They're like chocolate or vanilla. I don't, there's no right or wrong. It's just a preference, and, you know, 70 goals is 70.
Yeah.
Like, it's
so many.
It's a big number.
You're shooting it in almost every night.
And, you know, there's different ways you can also look at 100 assists. Do we have any idea how many are primary assists?
That's a great point.
Okay. Yep. Like, you tell me
how many are power play,
how many 70 out of 100 came directly off his pass for you to shoot it in the net. That drives my level of the 100, like, much higher.
I actually think your answer is the right one, which is like, there's nothing.
There's nothing. It's just, they're both phenomenal milestones that that stand on their own.
It's clearly goals.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah, you know, like Kipper mentioned the secondary thing. Is there secondary goals?
Well, there's empty net goals.
Yeah, but Matthews only has two of those.
That's true.
Which is incredible. To me, you're doing the ultimate thing. That is the point of the game, is to shoot it in the net. And you need some teammate help, which is clear with the 100 assists.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you not find that in your little computer?
What do you mean?
How many primary assists out of 100?
But, I mean, will you have the context of, is that good if I tell you it's 63, or are you going to go, ugh?
I'm just curious.
Yeah.
You tell me that...
Right. I'm Googling.
When we come back...
You tell me...
No, hold on. We got to do game time.
90 are secondary assists. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
The leader in the league for primary assists is Connor McDavid with 60.
See, that's a pretty good number.
I believe 5-on-5 primary assists. Max Domi's fifth in the league or something.
Buddy, I'm on a website that is terrifying me. So
I see
data a thing?
I don't know.
But it says, I'm looking at it here.
It's
and it
a
says,
big number.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Like, again, I don't think Austin's got 35 assists. This guy's got 60 primary assists.
That's crazy. 60 right? primary assists is nuts.
It's nuts.
He's historically one of the greatest
to ever
do this.
You know what kind of vision you have to have? Like, that's Wayne Gretzky type of vision.
He's got 99 right now assists. Sitting on 99.
I thought it would have been really fitting if Matthews had scored goal 66 against the Penguins last night. Thought that would have been very fitting for the Lemieux number. But
how do you think of this stuff?
I don't know.
Oh, you mean one of the most famous guys in the history of the league that wears number 66 and Matthews has 66 goals? I mean, how could I ever put that together?
You're the only one that would go that
what?
Deep. did it cross your mind?
Not at all.
That is surface level, boys. That can go deeper than that. The hamster's really going.
It's funny, like the icy data thing scared you because there was columns.
But there's percentage points. And I don't know. Hold on. I forgot my lineup upstairs. So I'm going to do some game time here. It's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Now, like you've said, we are off tomorrow. So we've been getting some disappointed texts to the text line, but we'll be back on Thursday. So we'll be here for you there. I don't know how you'll survive with us out without breaking down the electric Devils game tonight. I don't know how you'll survive your life without that.
There's good games tonight.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. They care more about... So we're not going to get to talk before the Masters start.
Oh.
It is Masters week.
Yeah.
I host the golf show podcast on Sportsnet.
It's actually called The Golf Guys, I think.
Yeah, well, it's called The Golf Show, but hosted by The Golf Guys. Yes.
The Golf Guys have The Golf
yes.
Show.
So download that. There's a Masters preview up there, so shameless plug by your boy. But I was looking at the value for some of these guys, and, you know, Scottie Scheffler is 4-1 now. So he started at 375, you know, plus 375.
No point in betting that.
There's no point?
There's no point in betting that.
I mean, if you have a more amount of units that you're willing to bet,
yeah,
depends on your pocketbook. If you want to bet more, you're going to be in the fight. Scottie Scheffler
no
is going to be
though.
In the... Yeah, no there's, you know what? There's no value on Gucci shoes, but it's nice to have them.
my brain can't do that cross-comparison.
So,
I'm like, how do you pull that one out?
Sam's going to have a weird brain day.
It's not that weird. Anyways, the value longer shots that I like, I think that Patrick Cantlay is severely undervalued at 33-1. He's a guy that's always plays well at Augusta mm-hmm. and a guy that is, you know, had a slower start to the season, but always elevates. And a guy that I don't love watching play at all, so it's a little bit of a happiness hedge.
Also, is that Cantlay?
No, I hate watching him play. He grinds. Yeah. He's a human rain delay. Give me a little Brian Harmon. At 50-1 down the list.
Is that the guy that just moves
Waggles?
A thousand
yeah, it's
times?
It's horrible.
And he's a lefty, right?
He's a lefty.
He could screw up me all summer.
But
if I watch him longer than 5 minutes, I hit
two
left.
Lefties here, by the way.
He could mess me up for the whole summer. He could ruin my summer if I watch him longer. He's like the eclipse.
Yeah.
Well, Weir right? was I a lefty with a weird pre-shot.
But here's the thing. Lefties love Augusta. Lefties win at Augusta. He's a lefty.
Bubba, man. Bubba Watson.
He's an excellent putter. Weir. Mickelson. He's an excellent putter.
Yeah.
50-1 for a guy who won the last major last year. There's good value there. So give me a 50-1 on him. As far as hockey goes.
No, hold on. Any Canadians? Give me a Canadian.
Connors, I got Connors top Connors. Five plus 1,200.
He loves the Masters, doesn't he? He's always kind of there.
Yeah, he's good at the Masters.
Yeah.
I wanted to see where Nick Taylor was here. Because
he's down.
You know, top Canadian, Connors is, I think, just over plus like 125 or something in Taylor's plus 250, maybe?
I love our beloved Bet365, and I think they're a wonderful sponsor, but I am downright offended by the number that Nick Taylor has. He is 160-1 to win the Masters.
Buddy, drop 10 on
that.
He
is behind, you know, he's behind Tiger Woods.
That can't be right.
It's right.
I'm going to bet that.
Behind Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods hasn't played four rounds of golf in a year.
Tiger Woods might not be able to operate his body for 72 holes.
So I think if you're a good Canadian, it's worth a little sprinkle on Nick Taylor, who's won this year, has been in the conversation at majors before.
72-foot putt to win our national championship.
Absolutely. So a little bit of golf content for you in game time. As far as hockey goes for tonight, A couple good ones. I like Carolina and Boston tonight. Give me
Wash. Wash Detroit. Come on.
Oh yeah.
Well, you know, I haven't.
Come
finished.
On, Sammy.
I haven't finished Kipper.
Who do you like?
Oh gosh, I'm pushing Wash.
Yeah, you think they're gonna get Charlie Lindgren, your boy?
Washington is a huge underdog, +130 in Detroit. Detroit is -155.
They do, favorite. Aren't they?
I would really recommend not betting Detroit Red Wings as a -155
yeah,
favorite.
Yeah, I don't like the scary number, but scary I do think number. They're going to win. But...
So, okay. So there you go. And I do like that Carolina-Boston game tonight. Good flick-back option for the Leafs.
Ooh.
Give me Carolina in Boston, the best team in the East, according to Borney. So they're going to win that. They have a perfect power play since March. Sorry, a perfect penalty kill since March 27th.
Power play would be very impressive.
So that was game time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds to find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we got some news and notes before we end the show.
Yep.
And take tomorrow off because everybody will be focused on game 12 of 162 of these things.
Buddy, the Jays, they could lose the season if they don't string some wins together here. They keep fans in the building.
All right, plenty to get into. As we mentioned earlier, Connor McDavid, sideline day-to-day. Scottsdale Mayor blast the Coyotes.
Blast them to another state.
Let's put on our surprise faces.
And some Leafs lineup news, too.
All right, break. All after the break when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Diving deep into Leafs, Raptors, Jays, and NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. This segment of Real Kipper and Bourne is brought to you by Hyundai. What do you guys got planned on your day off?
Or
are you golfing?
I'm golfing, yep.
Today was spectacular. Is that because we had an eclipse yesterday? Is that why we got great weather?
Buddy, 1 hour after the eclipse, it was blue as you'll ever see the sky.
It was
like the prairies
so
on
clear.
A giant blue sky.
We have these more often.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do. I'll talk to some people.
That leads to great weather.
It's supposed to be even better tomorrow, boys. So I'm teeing it. Can't wait. Clean the clubs up today. Got a couple boxes of
just
fresh.
Sitting there sadly scrubbing your clubs at home.
Wait. Fresh Kirkland pearls, ready to rock, baby.
Kirkland balls, I love them.
Oh, yeah.
They're great.
Before break, you mentioned Toronto's got some healthy scratches. Also, a major announcement from the New Jersey Devils based on a tweet we just saw from our Elliot Friedman.
Yeah, Jack Hughes having shoulder surgery. He will miss the rest of the year, and the Devils say he will be ready to go by the start of 2024-25 season. But big news that, you know, one of the league's premier scorers is having serious surgery.
Is that what he missed some time? Was it shoulder that he missed the time with? So maybe he was playing hurt, and then now they're like, we're out of it. Time
get
to get
fixed
it.
Yeah.
Listen, he's a first pick overall, but he had a very, very tough first year.
Yeah.
He did. He was,
okay.
Yeah.
And just probably the body, you know, wasn't where it needed to be at 18 to play in the NHL, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. I hope this doesn't have anything to do with that first year where, you know, in my opinion, he probably took a little bit of a beating.
Well, they were playing him 15 minutes a night. He scored, I think, 21 points in 61 games, like 7 goals.
Yeah.
So, but why
physically,
do that?
He didn't come in as a stud at 18, right? He wasn't Austin, who, by the way, played the World Cup at 235 before playing one game for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 235.
A lot of person.
He's a big man with a big frame.
Yeah, we saw a look into the future playing with Connor McDavid on the same line there in that tournament. It was great.
Which brings me...
Wait a sec.
Which brings me to the news out of the Western Hockey League where they've got a 14-year-old DuPont defenseman. He's got exceptional status. He's 14 years old.
Yeah.
And, hey, I've caught a few clips. Okay.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great. It's going to be a star. Yeah. He's Bedard, maybe, on defense. But what are we doing here?
14. That's crazy.
14 years old. Hey, come into a league where guys are 5 years older than you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Are we smart here? Are we just forcing things? Are we pushing it too hard?
Like, if he doesn't play in the dub, what does he do?
I don't know.
Where does he play?
He just dominates somewhere else, yeah. I guess.
So here's the list of exceptional players. It's been John Tavares, Aaron Ekblad, Connor McDavid, Sean Day.
That's the OHL.
Yeah. Joe Valano was in the queue. Shane Wright, Bedard, Michael Misa, and now DuPont.
Yeah.
That's the list of exceptional status.
Pretty successful.
Yeah.
But how many are household names?
Four, five.
Tavares.
Not all.
Ekblad.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
Connor McDavid.
Yes.
I'd say he's a household. Yep. Shane Wright, Bedard, and Michael Meese is still playing, so he's young. But anyways.
It's not a guarantee.
No. No, it's not.
I didn't expect exceptional status takes today. No, I love this, Kipper. I'll do this all day.
And I think it's a good conversation to have, but I really don't feel informed on the development of these kids because I imagine they're such individualized cases, right?
Sure.
Like, Sean Day was giant and skated like the wind.
Yeah.
I think he did recently play his first NHL games, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm. Does it?
Maybe not.
Does it come into play?
Played last year.
Do you get any NHL
games? He's playing for Syracuse this year. Played two games last year.
I don't know what the right and wrong answer is. All I know is 14 is really young and 15 is really young.
Yeah.
That's all.
Oh, I agree. And, you know, it's also quite the environment, like a junior hockey locker room, to throw a 14, 15-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to probably be 15 by the time it starts. But
people do bad words quite a bit.
Yeah, a lot of bad words.
About a whole range of topics.
I've never heard that in a locker room.
Yeah.
Some Leafs lineup notes. Connor Timmins coming in for Ilya Labushkin tonight. Nick Robertson and Noah Gregor drawing into the lineup for Connor Dewar and Ryan Reeves.
Yeah.
Joseph Woll in the net with Martin Jones backing up. So there you go, boys. No threat of Sammy being in this one ever.
I don't really want it. I mean, okay, every team can pull those third and fourth liners out. Just tell me, is Connor McDavid taking a night off? Right. Are they going to start resting him? Are you going to rest Austin Matthews here?
I think that's what I find interesting. See if he scores a hat trick in the next game or two, and then they'll make decisions. I don't think unless he runs up a number here in the next game or two, they'll play him all the way through.
He owns everybody with the scoring, but I think he's
over 0.9 goals per game against the Devils.
Yeah, he owns the Devils.
Yeah,
scores against them all the time.
It's certainly sounding like they're setting up Connor McDavid to take a night off here.
Is that tonight, you think?
Well, it's day to day, so you think he's
He's day to day.
They play Vegas tomorrow.
Day to day with.
So don't play him against Vegas.
Yeah, you're right.
Right?
Why push it? They still have six games left. God, that's a lot of hockey to fit in the next 9 days for them.
Yeah,
it is.
Not optimal way to finish.
Big win for the Canucks last night.
Yes. Canucks have all but pulled away from the Oilers. I mean, I know the Oilers can still get all those games to go, but seems like that kind of ices the Pacific.
And they will get the first wild card.
The Oilers? Oilers will finish second in the division with L.A., for the 2-3 series. Looks like L.A.'s, they're 1 point ahead of Vegas.
I have to say, Quinn Hughes is a delight to watch.
He had the puck the whole night.
He is so good.
Yeah.
And he's going to win the Norris. He's a huge favorite on And, you know, rightfully so.
Yeah, I don't see anyone else.
There's not many guys in the league that control the pace of a game like him. He is just a delight to watch. Yeah. Unbelievable.
A lot of the underlying numbers, if you look at like Stathletes and stuff, in terms of touches per game, ozone touches, possession time, he has the puck more than anyone else. He influences more plays than anyone in the league.
And how about Brock Besser? 40 goals.
What's his contract situation? I'm not even being facetious there. I forget. He still needs one, does he not?
I think he's got one more year at six something, maybe.
One more year at
something. And maybe he could be wrong.
He did a 3-year deal.
What am I missing here? Yeah, 3-year deal. Okay.
He did a 3-year deal.
And this is the first year of it?
One sec. I'm going to give you that answer. So, no, he's got six this year, and he has next year.
Next year.
Six,
yeah, he's in the second year.
Yep.
Yeah. Last year was his first year.
Yeah.
40 goals. And they...
So he'll be going into the last
away.
Year of that.
They couldn't give him away.
At the deadline. Or just throughout the year they try, you think.
Last year, the...
I don't know if it really started at the deadline last year, but during the summer, him and Garland, it was like, we got to get rid of these contracts.
I love Garland in the way that I hate Garland. You know, like, it's like, I can see why he makes people mad. I can see why sometimes he frustrates fans and coaches. I just love...
In your face.
Yeah, he's like... Bunting, but like angrier.
Yeah.
Bunting is more like, I'm having a good time with this whole thing. Garland is dead serious.
He's like, I hate you.
Yeah.
He's like,
right around the net, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Everything's right around the net.
He
Stick
scored
your
his
nose.
100th career goal last night.
Yeah.
Okay. The mayor of Scottsdale is not happy with the potential of an arena just off North Phoenix.
Can it's one on organization step on more rakes? Like, they're the. Absolute sideshow Bob from The Simpsons.
Can you please read the quote?
Yes. Okay. In their latest hitch, Scottsdale Mayor David Ortega opposed the Coyotes' plans. Here's what he had to say in a piece he wrote, an opinion piece. The prospect of a rookie developer attempting to buy Arizona State Trust land with absolutely no infrastructure on the Phoenix side of Loop 101 on Scottsdale Road intersection at the doorstep of Scottsdale is not feasible or welcome, Ortega wrote.
Okay, tell me how you really feel, Davey. Holy.
I admire the sport, Arizona Coyotes community involvement, and phenomenal youth hockey clubs at Scottsdale Ice Den, but I, along with the city of Scottsdale staff, will continue to monitor any actions that occur and negative repercussions for Scottsdale as it stands today, the fantasy hockey project must move west, away from Scottsdale. Mayor of Scottsdale.
Can someone tell the mayor that the NHL, we don't take hints.
No. Absolutely oblivious to subtlety.
That's a
Not
hint.
That was subtle.
Right?
Yeah.
That's a hint.
I don't know if that's a hint.
That's
more of a punch.
In the nose.
No. After, 20 years of this, it's a hint.
My God. The only parcel of land they can find in the giant state of Arizona, and the people who live there are like, we don't.
And the crazy part about it is, like, this thing's supposed to go to auction in June.
Yeah.
So it starts at $68 million.
And they've made it clear that they won't lose.
The Arizona Coyotes, the owner's Alex.
Marulo.
He wants
Jason
it.
Jason Marulo, I believe.
Right? So, like, I don't know. Doesn't sound like you're very good at poker. Right?
Right, yeah.
I really want it.
I really want this.
Okay, like, why don't you just show your cards to everybody in the world?
Can I get it for 68?
Right? It's like,
you could until you said that.
It's like me at Golf Town. I'm like, just take it.
Like, this thing is going to...
Take my card. How much can fit on that?
It'll go for 100.
I mean, they'll just put some guy in the room who's not serious about it until they get to 100, and okay, you take over from here. To own a parcel of land where the mayor doesn't want
going.
You. I tell you where it's going.
Salt Lake.
Utah. Yeah.
And I saw today that they were taking submissions for team names.
Team names. Yeah, Ryan Smith put that out
there. Some good ones. Did you know it was the Beehive State?
No.
I didn't either. Salt Lake Stingers. Can I interest you in that? Two Bush League.
You're just not known as like anything bee related.
I don't know if this is helping.
Utah.
Salt. Yeah, I don't think it's helping. Like,
bringing the people
in. If you know
in?
Anything about Commissioner Gary Bettman, I don't think he likes this stuff.
What was the,
right?
What was the BlackBerry guy?
We haven't given you a team yet.
Yeah.
You're going out and soliciting names now.
Yeah.
Not cool.
And also when you involve the public, like, didn't they vote on some ship and the public vote on the name Bodie McBoatface?
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to end up with a great name.
I saw Utah Yetis. Ugh.
I saw some that I can't say on
really?
Air.
Really?
The Utah Gila Monsters?
Gila.
Okay, I'm an idiot, so there you go. The Utah Elks, state mammal?
I liked your Silver Tips.
I did too.
Salt Lake Silver Tips.
Yeah, works great. I think Salt Lake Stingers runs well,
done.
Too.
It's done. It's taken.
Well, it's never stopped anyone before.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, what about the Kitchener Rangers, bud?
I don't know who went first.
I bet you it
Someone
was.
No, there might have been an affiliation, maybe.
Probably. Yeah, I don't know. I think
there's a good chance.
There's tons of leagues that
Vegas couldn't go Knights. They had to go Golden Knights because of the London Knights.
Yeah, I
don't know if I'm making that up or not.
don't let facts get in the way of a great take.
I think I read it somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay. Was it on Facebook? Was it your weird uncle?
If you never qualified it, I would have never questioned
that. Yeah, same.
No.
But I mean,
okay, help me out, Twitter.
I don't want to offend the Everett Silvertips here, but I think the London Knights have a little more cachet.
I think that's
that fair?
Reasonable suggestion, yes.
I think it's time here. Yeah. Like, when the mayor of the town is coming out dunking all over you, you're trying to... It's an ego thing.
Build the thing when you get it built.
You know,
we'll talk about coming back.
Gary's got to go in there and be like, it's over.
Yeah.
You know,
you're coming with me.
And the crazy part about it is, from everyone I talk to, this is a fantastic location. It is perfect.
Okay.
Except the mayor ain't giving you any water.
You can get sewer. You can get it all figured out. Once you agree.
No, he's saying no, there's none of that.
Well, there's no infrastructure. That's what he's talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
we're not giving you fresh water.
I think that's reasonably
common. And we're out of it in the state of Arizona, by the way.
Reasonably common with the state of Arizona. They have these big undeveloped pieces of land.
Mm-hmm. Buddy, put it upstairs at Blondie's. I'll get a season ticket holder.
Sure, man. There's people who would love it for sure. But
Scottsdale is very good.
It is. All right, Arbor Jack guy is going to undergo season-ending shoulder surgery as well. Big challenge to say that a whole bunch of times. Oshie. So,
coming back tonight.
Coming back, okay.
That'll help.
Yeah.
I saw Sergachev skating around in the non-contact jersey.
Does that scare you?
No.
Any chance he comes back in round two or three?
He snapped his fibula. John, how is he on the ice still?
John Cooper says no.
Okay, well, yeah.
He's, and Dave never told us no.
Okay. Yeah,
those guys
right.
He's never told.
Those guys have never fibbed. Like Kucherov's not. He's not healthy.
Honest Abe Cooper. That's what they call him.
He's not healthy. Where he's not healthy, boys. So.
All right. Big night.
We still got to decide on an MVP. In the last handful of games here.
And changing for you lately?
I don't know. Isn't it already decided? You're voting, right?
I am.
You've made up your mind already.
I mean, I have. If the season stopped today,
yeah,
I got a guy.
Oh, stop it! What do you like?
You want to know?
You made up your decision. Oh, I'll ask you maybe later on in the week.
Yeah.
I won't do that to you now.
Our boy who we had on yesterday, Jason Greger. I'm not going to read out this whole long tweet because it's a lot of information. But he had an excellent tweet regarding the on-off stats for the guys and talking about their contributions.
And Kucherov, who's more valuable to their team?
Kucherov is factored in on 50.2% of Tampa Bay's goals this year.
Is that the highest of the?
McDavid's 48, McKinnon 46, Panarin at 42, and Matthews and Crosby on 36.6.
Yeah.
But goals, Austin is at what, 25? And a guy like Kucherov would be at 15?
What are you talking about?
Contributions, goals, contributions to your team.
Oh, percentage-wise.
Percentage-wise,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay, Yeah, and also, like, I don't love the whole, we're going to penalize Connor McDavid because, like, Dreisaitl's good or because they have more scoring than Tampa. Like,
yeah, I think, I would just be the guy that votes for Connor McDavid every year. So that's probably, I'll never have a vote, but I would vote for Connor McDavid every year.
Hey, there's plenty of guys that vote just like you.
There are.
Well, just the best guy in the league with the most points every year.
I think
he's the MVP.
Well,
or in your case, the right passport.
If you just got accused of something very serious. At the end of your career, if you show your voting record and you voted for the best player in the league every year, I don't think you're getting a bunch of criticism.
That's true.
Everyone's going to go, yeah, at least you were on the right track there.
All right,
didn't
boys.
Overthink it too much.
And this segment of Real Kipper and Born was brought to you by Hyundai. The 2024 Santa Fe Hybrid NHL Edition is made for those who drive hockey. Only 500 available. Order yours today,
they're
boys.
Legit like NHL.
Yeah.
Like NHL Hyundai.
There you go. Love
right.
it.
Cool.
Time to see you off tomorrow.
11:10 a.m.
Foursome?
Maybe. You were looking for a spot?
I don't know.
You want to drive up to Mississauga? You can come.
It's going to be packed.
Yeah,
we're looking at a 5.5-hour round.
No,
I can't
Kipper,
do that.
We're not playing. What are you talking about? We're not playing like the Mississauga City courses. It's good. Good pace. I promise.
All right.
You want to come?
Is your game's in good shape already?
I played once. I shot 83.
All right.
The Islanders-Rangers tonight. Islanders need this one.
All right. 13 games. Pick your game, and we'll be back Thursday as we take tomorrow off. Enjoy it. Have a good one, everybody.